You're listening to a podcast provided by Great Ormond Street Hospital for Children, NHS Trust. This podcast explains about keeping a safe medicine cabinet at home. It was written in October 2007 and recorded in March 2008. We all have medicines of some kind at home, some of which could be dangerous if taken incorrectly. This podcast explains how to keep your medicine safe at home and tips for keeping a well-stocked but safe medicine cabinet. This podcast is one of a series and you can listen to others on our website. You don't have to have a specially made cabinet for storing medicines. There are plenty on the market, but anything with a lock that can be positioned out of the reach of children will do. Some people find that a cabinet or cupboard suits their purpose, but other people find a drawer most useful. Most people keep their medicine cabinet in the bathroom, where it can get hot and steamy. Many medicines can degrade or break down in these conditions, so they don't work so well. Whatever sort of cabinet or cupboard you use, another location at home, such as the bedroom, might be better than the bathroom. This section makes suggestions of the sorts of things you should keep in your medicine cabinet and how to do so safely. You should keep all your medicines, whether bought over the counter from a pharmacy, supermarket or other outlet, or prescribed, safely locked away in your medicine cabinet. Other products that you might not think of as medicines should also be kept out of the reach of children. These can include mouthwashes, skin creams and vitamins. All of these contain ingredients that could be dangerous if swallowed by accident or in large amounts. Always keep medicines in the original packaging. It can be risky to decant medicines into another container as they will be unlabeled, which could be dangerous if different medicines get mixed up and taken at the wrong time. Some medicines do not work as well once they have been removed from the packaging, such as tablets or capsules that come in blister packs. As well as showing the name of the medicine, the packaging usually protects it as well. Here are some suggestions for a few basic medicines and products to keep on hand in case a member of the family falls ill. A first aid kit is always useful to keep to hand, both in the medicine cabinet at home and when you're out and about too. It should contain antiseptic wipes, plasters in a variety of shapes and sizes, gauze pads, crepe or stretchy bandages, and a triangular bandage to make a sling. You can buy small first aid kits ready-made in most pharmacies, or you could make up your own and store it in an airtight box. It can be difficult to judge whether a child is just a bit hot or running a temperature. Measuring your child's temperature accurately with a thermometer will help you decide what to do next. We do not recommend using old-fashioned mercury and glass thermometers for children, as there is always a chance they could break. Alternatives are strip thermometers or digital thermometers, which you can buy quite cheaply in most pharmacies. Round-ended scissors are a useful addition both to your first aid kit and your medicine cabinet. They are safer than manicure scissors for cutting close to the skin. They are also useful for cutting over large plasters, bandages, and tape. Tweezers are the best way of removing splinters, so keep a pair in your medicine cabinet, but never use them to remove foreign objects from the nose, ears or eyes. This job is best left to a doctor at your local accident and emergency or A&E department. Antiseptic cream should be put on cuts and grazes to get rid of any infection. Creams are generally easier to handle than antiseptic liquids and they sting less too. They come in lots of different brands and many pharmacists sell generic or own brand creams too. Everyone has an ache or pain at some point and you should probably keep two types of pain relief medicine at home, particularly if there are adults and children in the household. You don't need to keep large quantities of pain relief medicines at home. Usually enough for a couple of days' dosage will be sufficient. The most useful pain relief medicine is paracetamol, as it can be given safely to most people. It comes as tablets, soluble tablets, and liquids, and is usually safe to give to children according to the instructions on the bottle. Ibuprofen is another useful pain relief medicine to keep in your medicine cabinet, but some people with stomach irritation or asthma should not take it. Aspirin is safe for adults to take, but should never be given to children aged under 16 years unless it has been specifically prescribed for them. Talk to your pharmacist about the best type of pain relief for your family. There are lots of different cough and cold remedies available, although all of them treat the symptoms rather than the germ that originally caused the cough or cold. Cough mixtures come in two types: expectorant, which loosens mucus so it can be coughed up, and suppressant, which stops coughing. Talk to your pharmacist about the most suitable type. You can also buy medicines based on eucalyptus oil to relieve stuffiness. Cold remedies come as tablets or powders in a variety of flavours. Remember that cold remedies often contain paracetamol, so should not be taken with at the same time as other paracetamol medicines. Rehydration solution can be a very important treatment if someone has diarrhea. Children can easily get dehydrated if they have diarrhea, and rehydration solution contains a mixture of minerals and salts to keep the body's fluids in balance. These come in a variety of flavours, and many generic versions are available, as well as brand name ones. Antihistamines can be useful if someone in the family suffers from hay fever or allergies. Most types can be safely given to children, but check the packaging to make sure. Mosquitoes and other biting insects are becoming more common in the UK, so it's sensible to keep some insect repellent handy for the summer months. You can buy this as a liquid or cream to smooth over the skin or as a spray. Some have a very strong spray, so you might have to try a few before finding one you like. Even though it's not hot in the UK, sun cream or lotion is important to protect against sun damage. You can buy generic types of sun cream or lotion, which often work out cheaper than brand names, and some types come in special coloured formulations for children. Ask your pharmacist for advice about the best level of protection for your skin type. Generally, the paler your skin, the higher factor sun cream or lotion you should use. Most children and some adults get travel sick at some point in life, and it's useful to have some travel sickness remedies to hand when you're on a journey. There are various types available, either as tablets or liquids. You can also buy some wristbands that work by putting pressure on the wrists, reducing feelings of sickness. Talk to your pharmacist about the best travel sickness remedy for your family. Finally, a safe medicine cabinet is one that is checked and cleared out regularly. This section explains why. Do not hoard medicines after you have finished with them. Many medicines go off after a while, and all packaging should contain an expiry date. Every so often, perhaps every 3 months or so, go through your medicine cabinet and remove anything that is past its expiry date. Return these to your pharmacist for safe disposal. Do not flush them down the toilet or throw them away. If you have any questions about the information contained in this podcast or about medicines in general, your pharmacist should always be your first port of call. Most community pharmacies have a quiet room where you can talk to the pharmacist in private, and many hold a selection of health information leaflets as well. You can find details of your nearest community pharmacy in the phone book or your local newspaper. This information was compiled by the Pharmacy Department in collaboration with the Child and Family Information Group at Great Ormond Street Hospital for Children NHS Trust. It was written in October 2007 and recorded in March 2008. This information does not constitute health or medical advice and will not necessarily reflect treatment at other hospitals. If you have any questions, please ask your doctor. No liability can be taken as a result of using this information.